I am doing something this morning that I have not done since I was a kid. And anybody who plays games with me knows that I really don't like this. I mean, when you do this while you're playing a game, you might win the game, but the victory is completely empty and meaningless, completely. What I'm talking about is that I'm cheating a little bit this morning. I am going to cheat. In fact, I'm cheating in two ways. The lesson this morning, I didn't come up with the idea on my own. In fact, I stole it from Gary Kaufman, who recommended it to me, and he got it from Jody Broyles. But I don't feel all that bad about it, because when I started looking for things on the internet to put on the PowerPoint, what I realized is that Jody probably got it from somebody else too. So I feel okay about that. But the kernel of the idea is not mine. I mean, not all great ideas, regrettably, are mine. Most of them I actually have to steal from other people. I wish they were mine. But no, most of them I get from other people. Every once in a while, I actually admit it. Today, this comes from Gary and Jody, and I appreciate them sharing with that. But I'm also cheating in another way. I'm cheating in a second way, because I'm going to admit to you, we're really going to one verse this morning, and I'm actually going to rip the phrase of this verse completely out of context. I just wanted to admit to you that's what I'm doing. I'm not going to make the point from it that Paul was making from it. I'm not going to use it to make his point. But I do believe that there's an underlying principle to this phrase that I want to hone in on this morning that is powerful and is profound and will really benefit us as we're starting a new year. And so I want to share this phrase with you. I'm going to take it out of that text, use that underlying principle, and I hope that it's going to help us. And I'm going to share that phrase with you in just a few moments. But first, I want to ask God's blessing on our time here today and on this lesson, and then give you some background. So would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God, you are magnificent and awesome. You are the great ruler of heaven and earth. Father, everything that you resolve comes to pass. When you make resolutions, they occur, and none can stop them. And we are amazed and in awe, and we are most thankful that you resolved to save us from our sins. That you resolved, no matter what it cost, to remove our sins from us, that we might become more like you, more like your Son, more like your Spirit. And that awful cost was your Son on the cross. But you were resolved, and we are thankful. We, on the other hand, struggle with resolution. We struggle with change. We struggle with growth. And so this morning we ask for your strength. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance and your counsel. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us in our inner man, that your presence will fill us, and that by faith your Son will be in our hearts, that we might know the breadth and depth and height and length of your strength, of your power, of your love, of your mercy and your grace, of your people, of your knowledge. And Father, we ask that this year that we are starting will be one of revival for each of us individually in our own lives and our walk with your Son, and for this congregation, that we might be strong and glorify you, because you are indeed great, O God. Help us this morning with simple lessons that we might grow in the days to come. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before I tell you the powerful phrase, the one thing that I want to share with you this morning in the passage that we're going to go to, let's back up, though, and consider something. We're 6 days into 2019. So my question for you, how many of you made resolutions before the new year? We got some made some resolutions. Okay, yeah. A lot of us make resolutions in the new year. That's not a bad thing to do. Now, my question, how many of you have already broken them? Ah, I see a couple. Yeah, I get it. Here's a tough one. How many of you think, yeah, it's probably going to be broken come February 1st? Here's one. How many of you didn't make resolutions this year because you got sick of making them in years past and breaking them by February 1st? Anybody? Look at that. Yeah, absolutely. I get it. You know, there's an article that was written in Forbes magazine back in 2013 that says in any given year, about 40% of Americans kick off the year with a list of resolutions. 40%. Just to put that in perspective, that's like 7% more than watch the Super Bowl. 40% kick off the year with resolutions. The same article, however, says that only 8% of those who made them will actually keep them. Think about that. Now, I want to put that in your mind, what that means. What that means is in a group of about this size, that means out of all of us, about 10 of us will have made resolutions that we actually keep. Just look around for a moment and think about that. That's what that statistic says. About 10 of us will make resolutions at the beginning of the year that we actually keep. That's pathetic. Don't you think? But why is it like that? I'll tell you the reason why it's like that. It's just very natural that it's like that. The reason that it's like that is because all of the sources of influence in our lives are stacked against us whenever we make resolutions. When we're making resolutions, we're wanting to establish new and positive and good habits, or sometimes get rid of old bad habits. But the thing we need to understand is that all of the sources of influence in our lives are leading us to just continue doing what we've always done. Whether it's personal sources of influence or the social sources of influence, or if we're talking about the environmental influences around us, every single one of them are stacked against us when we try to establish these resolutions. And here's why I know that that may sound extreme, but think about it. If everything within you, your knowledge and your motivation was in line with that new habit, and if all your social structure and peers and everyone around you was in line with that new habit, and if the entire environment around you was in line with that environment, wouldn't you already have been doing that habit? If everything that influences us was leading us to pursue the habit, we'd have already been doing it. The fact is, everything that's around us is leading us to do just what we've always done. That's why we've been doing it. And then we get to the new year and we say, now it's going to be different. And we think that somehow just because we've made that decision and we've written it down on a piece of paper, that all of a sudden all that influence that's around us is not going to impact us anymore. And it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And so we set these resolutions and we struggle. And about the third or fourth time that we break them, we give up on them and say, I'll try again next year. Which is one of the problems with New Year's resolutions, is that if we break it by January 15th, we've given up until next January 1st. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Maybe we need to think about that just a little bit. But the other reason why so much of this fails and we struggle is because, let's just face it, when we're establishing New Year's resolutions, most of us bite off more than we can chew. We all these things that need to get better in our lives, and we know them about ourselves better than anyone else, right? I'm going to get up 30 minutes early, and I'm going to pray every day for 15 minutes. Write that down. I'm going to read my Bible every day for 30 minutes, or I'm going to read a chapter or three chapters. In fact, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year. I'm going to go to church every Sunday and Wednesday. I'm going to read one book a week. I'm going to do 30 minutes of cardio every day. I'm going to go to the gym and work out with weights four times a week. I'm going to have one date night a week with my spouse. I'm going to spend quality time every day with every one of my kids individually. I'm going to subscribe to some trade journal or buy some books that go along with my career, and I'm going to make sure to read those every day. Oh, I'm going to stay at work longer so I can get more done every day. I'm going to eat healthier, which means I'm going to have to cook more, right? Oh, yeah. And in the midst of all of that, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep every night. And the list goes on and on and on. And we've got 25, 50 things that we're trying to improve. All of our effort, all of our will is divided over all of those things. And is it any wonder that we end up breaking most or all of them. I mean, just think about that. I love the way Jody Broyles, in a lesson that I saw from him, said it. I've got so much going on in my life, I don't have time to live my life. And that's the problem that we have with these resolutions. And so what I want to do is I want to give you an alternative. I want to bring to you something else, a different idea. A different idea. And this is where we get to the passage in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. The phrase that I want to pull out that I want you to see. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 981. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 has been talking about all the things in the law that he had been doing. All the things that he had been striving to pursue in order to establish his own righteousness. He said, I've given up all of those things so that I can know Jesus. And in verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says that no matter what, I'm going to press on. But the part I really want us to see, I want us to see that phrase, one thing I do. Paul was not resolved to accomplish 25, 35, 55, 95 things. Paul was resolved to accomplish one thing. One thing. This one thing I do. And his one thing was pressing on. And what a great one thing that is. He was going to press on. He was in prison. No matter. I'm going to press on. There were other preachers that were competing with him and trying to get folks to follow them and not listen to him. No matter. I'm going to press on. He was being persecuted. It doesn't matter. I am going to press on. There were problems in the churches that he had started, struggles that kept coming back to him, and he kept having to go back and fix things and write letters, but no matter, I am going to press on. What an amazing thing that is. And pressing on, that would be a great lesson there. How many of us need to press on? But the thing I want us to note is that one phrase. One thing I do. That's the part I want us to see. Paul's one thing was pressing on. In fact, he'd even said it in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. He says, I mess up. I stumble. I fall. No matter. Here's my one thing. This is the thing I do. None of this changes the one thing. The one thing is going to stand. I press on. And what I want us to think about is the one thing. One thing. What can I do this year? One thing that I can focus in on to grow this year. Rather than dividing all of my effort over 10, 15, 20, 25 things, what is the one thing that I can focus my attention on and I will grow there? Let me just ask you. I'm just going to put it in your court. How many of you here believe today that in 2019 you really can focus your effort on 25 things and grow in all of them really well? See, not many of us think we can do that. That's, wow, that's a lot. That's overwhelming. We give up by February 1st. But what about one thing? Do you think you could say, you know what, one thing, I could do that. Especially by the grace of God, God's with me. One thing, I can focus on that. Now let me ask you this. Here, I just want you to think about this in a very practical way. Do you believe that there is any one thing that you would focus on and would only impact one thing in your life? See, the reality is we understand it's all intertwined. So what if we just said one thing? I'm going to grow in one area this year. I'm going to focus my effort. I'm going to home in on one thing. Do you think that might impact some other things as well? And cause some amazing growth in other areas of your life? I really love the way John Maxwell expresses it in one of his books. He said, it's better to say this one thing I do than these 10 things I dabble in. It's better to say this one thing I do than these 10 things I dabble in. Paul said, one thing I do. All this other stuff is happening. All this other stuff is going on. I mess up. People are against me. But one thing I do. Now, it may be that the one thing you want to do is press on. That may be your one thing for this year. But what I want to encourage you, and this is really the only thing I wanted to say this morning. I wanted us to think about what is one thing that 2019 can be about in your life. In fact, what I'd like to do is kind of adjust it in your mind. Rather than one resolution, rather than one habit, Rather than saying, all right, there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to pray every day. Rather than saying, here's this one, why not summarize it in a word? Come up with one word that's going to be kind of your theme word for the year. This is where my mind is going to be focused. This is what's going to govern my life. And if I'm at home, this word is going to govern how I behave at home. If I'm on the job, this word is going to govern how I behave on the job. When I'm with my brethren in the church, this one word is going to govern how I behave and how I live and how I grow with my relationship with my brothers. At school, this one word is going to govern what I do and how I live my life in 2019. What if you came up with one word? You know, the Bible actually has passages that give us a lot of good words. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Here's this list of words: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we have what we often call the Christian virtues. Add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and to self-control steadfastness, and to steadfastness godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Those are some good words. I also think about in Colossians chapter 2. Really in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's look in chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. These are some good words. It doesn't have to be necessarily any of these words, but think of some, what are some principles that God has in His one word? This year, this is the thing that I am going to work on. This is where I'm going to focus my attention. One thing, this one thing I do. Paul's one thing, press on. Okay, I get it. That's two words. But you get the point. In Greek, by the way, it's just one word. So does that count? But you don't have to know your word in Greek. All right? Press on, pursuit, steadfastness. That's that kind of thing. What's the one word that really needs to describe your life? You know, it may be that this year that where you are, it's January 6th, and one of your resolutions was, I got to get right with God. I got to start going to church. And so that may be why you're here today. And I am so glad that you are here today. And that is a powerful habit that you need to develop. But maybe what your one word needs to be for 2019 is church. Church. And what you focus on is being with the church when the church is together. What you focus on is your relationship with the church. That may be your thing. That may be the one thing. I promise you it'll impact a lot of things. Or it may be that you've been dealing with a lot of doubt. Maybe that you've been dealing with some despair, some struggles. Maybe your one thing is, my word is faith. Faith. That's what I'm going to focus on. Faith. Building my faith. That may be the thing for you. Or it may be that you've had anxieties and fears and worries. Or irritations, frustrations, and anger, and you say peace. Peace is the thing. That's my thing this year. 2019 is the year of peace for me. Or maybe you've been struggling with materialism and greed. Maybe you've not been happy with where you are, and it's causing kind of fretting and anxiety and struggle. And maybe your word needs to be contentment. All kind, wherever it might be for where you are. Kindness, forgiveness, patience, love, steadfastness, trust. Yours doesn't have to be the same as the person next to you. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Do not get paralyzed by trying to figure out what the absolute best word would be. Boy, what's the best word? It might be 2020 before you figure that one out. Don't do that. Just, you know, what's a good word? And then settle on it. Because I promise you, it'll impact other things. So you don't have to find the best word, the one, the only that could be your theme for 2019. But I would encourage you, take some time to consider it. Take some time to pray about it. Where does my life need to grow in 2019? Where does your life need to grow in 2019? What would be a great word that said, this is my year for this? And then once you've settled on it, tell people about it. Let them know, this is what my year is about. and talk to him about it and find passages about it and read those passages and study how that impacts and then start applying those things to your life. And then when you're at work, let it impact how you conduct yourself at work. And when you're at school, let it impact how you conduct yourself at school. And when you're at church, let it impact how you conduct yourself at church. When you're in the neighborhood, let it govern your life. Let it govern your personal discipleship. Let it govern your social relationships and your congregational relationships. Let it govern your community involvement and your career improvement. Let that one word, let that be that thing. Paul said, this one thing I do. His one thing was pressing on. Maybe that can be your thing. But what if we get back to that one thing? I'm going to focus on one thing and drill it down to that word. I want to encourage you, take some time this week. Figure out your word. When you figure it out, you might even write it down on your connection card and let your shepherds know, this is what my year is about. That way they can be praying for you. And what your growth is about in this year. That's all I want to say to you. One word. What's yours going to be? By the way, one of my resolutions was not shorter sermons. But I promise you I'll try. One word. One word. What's your word going to be? If you want to, you can put your notes away. Quit putting these water bottles in here, Dave. I wonder if we had talked to Jesus about this while he was on the earth, what his one word might have been, what one word he might come down to. I mean, I obviously don't know what the specific one is, but I can think of some that probably would be a good thing that says this is what it was about. Sacrifice. Service. What about ransom? Because that's exactly what he did. Those are some words that governed every aspect of Jesus' life. Everything was driven to that. He knew, I have come to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man hasn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He did that for you. And the thing I want to point out to you is this morning, you can come up with an absolutely outstanding word this week, but if you have not been ransomed by Jesus, growing in that word in 2019 is not going to help you one bit. Have you let Jesus ransom you? He died so you could be set free. He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. We'd love to help you enter the group, the ransomed, the redeemed, the saved. We want to help you with that this morning. If we can help you enter Jesus Christ today, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.
Lord, answer.